It's time for the Pestrogen Podcast with your hosts, Jenny and Candace.
Welcome back, all my pretty pesties everywhere. Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Pestrogen Podcast. I am Candace. As always, with me is Jenny. How are you doing, girl? How's your week been?
It's been amazing. I took vacation time.
I know.
It's been amazing. We did grandma camp this week. So my mom took me and the kids all to Great Wolf Lodge.
Nice. And
yeah, if you've never been to one of those places, they're awesome. It was a lot of fun. And then we went to the zoo. And then today I spent catching up on the house and had a cookout. So,
nice.
Yeah. And then tomorrow I'll be spending the day getting my life together before going back to work.
So, yes. Sounds like a typical Sunday.
Right. Exactly.
This week was pretty good. I got to work with my oldest twice. She helped me during my medical clinics, and then she helped me with my out-of-town stuff. I did have a sad moment yesterday when I found out, like, one of our very first clients passed away on Monday. Yeah, her daughter told me when I knocked on the door, you know, oh, how's everything going? She's like, Mom passed away on Monday. And me and her literally sat there hugging each other and crying. I loved her mom. Like, I've only known her for, you know, a few years, but she was super sweet. She used to be a school teacher. She was just very wholesome, like, really small town. Like, I think their town has, like, maybe 100 people in it.
Yeah.
But she's a very, like, just wholesome person. It's, oh, it broke my heart. And then, of course, Brandon calls me because he knew where I was. And he's like, oh, how's so-and-so doing? And I was like, oh, talk to you later. I'm working. I didn't want to tell him over the phone. But then, of course, he called me again and asked me again. So I had to tell him over the phone. I was so pissed. But other than that, it has been a really good week. I had a blast with my kiddo. Since they are technically licensed and immediately supervised, make them do majority of the work. Where I just go, uh-huh, yeah, you're doing it right. And then it saves the knees from having to squat down to check all these stinking bait stations. But it was good, though.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
So you had a sad moment, but yes, the rest of the week went decent.
Yes.
That's awesome. And you and I were kind of talking about how precious that is with being a smaller pest company where you're able to build those relationships. And I love that.
Yeah. Like, everybody always complains about residentials. I personally love it. I, like, have such a close relationship with, like, majority, I would say 95% of my residentials. Tenants, on the other hand, I don't care about them. But the actual homeowners, I love them. I love every one of them. And, like, the bad thing is around here, it's a lot of elderly people. So I know it's going to happen more often. And I'm just like, oh, I'm not ready for this heartache. There's two of them that my kids have pretty much adopted as their surrogate grandmothers, even though they have grandmothers. But, like, one of them even has Jude's wrestling photo. She just absolutely loves him to death. Like, she has it framed and on her little side table next to her chair. She just loves him. And I know, like, when that time comes with her, he is just going to be absolutely broken. And I'm just like, I don't want this to happen. But on a brighter note.
Yes, yes.
We have an excellent episode. We have the amazing, wonderful, awesome Jen McIntosh with us tonight for an evening with Jen. Jen's.
Hello.
I'm surrounded.
Surrounded by Jens. We're joining forces for one giant Jen.
I love Jens. Like, I moved around a lot as a kid because my dad was in the Army. But when my parents got divorced, we moved back up to Washington. And I was going into the sixth grade. So in the middle school, knew nobody. That was fun. My very first friend I made there was named Jen. Well, Jenny. But I'm still friends with her. Hell, she just posted on my Facebook this morning. I'm like, yay, all the Jennies.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. I've been waiting on the edge of my seat all week.
Yes. I loved it when I asked her if she wanted to join us. It wasn't even that long of a wait. I'm like, hey, so me and Jenny were thinking, you know, hey, do you want to, you know, join us for an episode? I think it was like a minute. And the answer was, fuck yeah. And I was like, perfect. Because normally it's like, well, yeah, I guess. Oh, I'm really nervous about it. You know, she's fuck yeah. I'm like,
yeah, yeah. Right. So happy here.
Yes. Well, you were constantly like helping us out with stories. You're constantly in the Facebook group, giving your input, your wittiness, your ideas, your creation, whatever, to people. I literally looked it up earlier just to get like extra ideas of stuff that you like to talk about and and stuff like that. Like, there were so many posts that either you have made or you have commented on. And I love that because it's once again, it's the women helping the women. Because sometimes we don't want to ask the guy, or they're going to give us, well, why don't you know that type of answer? So it really helps us to just see it in our own perspective for the trials and tribulations that we go through as a woman out in the field.
Exactly. I think the whole point of our women's only groups, and you know, this one in particular, is to be able to be there for each other and lift each other up, especially working in an industry where, what is it like? I think it's only 5% of the pest control workers are made up of women.
Yeah. Something wrong there.
When, you know, it's really important that we know that we're all there to support each other, you know, and kind of break through some of that misogyny and even the internalized misogyny that we've picked up along the way of where we fit and what we should be doing. And, you know, it's seeing one person break through that will help empower somebody else to see everything they have within too and break through those barriers also. It's important. Yeah. You're doing a great thing with this group.
That's all this. Well, I don't know how everybody's situated, but on my screen, she's right here. Yeah. This is all her. She made the group. She made the podcast. This is all on her. I'm just around for the ride.
Oh, yeah, right. It's been a team of amazing women. And honestly, Candace is really good at revving up people, like being like, hey, you know, this exists because new people join different groups. And, you know, we are close to, I think, 300 members in Pestrogen.
Yeah.
So it's more about getting the word out and just, you know, being there for one another in it. So, yeah.
And we're never going to have the numbers of like PCHD or Pest Cemetery because there's not that many women in this field. It's a niche group inside of another niche group. So we're never going to have that kind of number. So even 300 in about 6 months or now. So Pestrogen group has been open. It's still a hell of a, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Definitely. Yeah, I start seeing, since I'm, you know, both of us are admins on PCHD, I start seeing all these women coming in and I'm going, wait, hold on. There's a whole other group for this too. Like, be in both. Have a blast in both. Like, I'm not, you know, saying, ew, don't be with the men.
Right.
But be have fun in both of them.
Yes, absolutely. Definitely.
All right, enough about us. This is supposed to be about Jen tonight. Jen,
yes.
How long have you been in pest control?
July 30th will be 7 years.
So nice.
I started, kind of my pest control origin story. I was, you know, just running the gamut of dead-end jobs here and there and all this stuff. And I did things that I really loved. I'm a Jen of all trades, so I've done all kinds of stuff. I was a massage therapist for 5 years. That was pretty fun. I've done furniture finishing. So anybody in the DMV, if you're ever at the Starbucks at Towson University, I made all the cabinets and tables and stuff that went into that Starbucks. So
nice.
You're welcome.
That's great.
I work for this manufacturing place and we did all kinds of stuff. So anybody that has like that shop at Kroger, the tables that they put all their flower arrangements on and stuff, we made those and Quick Trips, we did all the work in there, and I used to do putting down, like, all the veneer tops and stuff. So, like, you have, like, the NDF, and you cover it in the tiger glue, and then take the gigantic sheets of, like, the veneer and just flap it on there, and you got to roll it on, and it's tough. It's hard work. It's dirty. Yeah. So, that's the kind of stuff we did. It was a pretty cool job, but I left there, and started working at Enterprise Rent-A-Car, cleaning cars. And I did that for like a year and a half. And I was like, man, I just can't anymore. Like, there was a pay, like there's a cap to the pay. I don't have a college degree, so I couldn't go into any other portion of that business at all. I was just kind of stuck. I was like, you know what, this, forget this. I can't, I'm not able to support the family properly. Like, I'm contributing, but not contributing enough.
Yeah.
So I was like, what am I going to do? Like, I don't know. Like, the job market at the time was booming for people with a college degree doing things that I had no interest in doing. But given the time of year, it was June. So I'm like flipping through Indeed and it was like pest control, pest control, pest control, pest control. Because it's in the middle of busy season.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, there's so many of these. Like, maybe this is a sign. So I started reading some of the job descriptions. I was like, I don't really like bugs, but I don't. Yeah, that's whatever. I can do anything that I need to. And intended to really only be temporary. Mm-hmm. And so I started, and it was love at first B&G. I just, the second I hit the field, I was like, oh, man, this is kind of cool. I like this a lot. And then the more I started learning, the more and more I fell in love with it. So, like, in the state of Georgia, you have to do, I think it's 10 hours of classroom time, and then I think 70 hours supervised in the field before you take a registration exam. And so I was out training for, you know, several weeks, and it was really good. And then so I started at a national company, and they had a particular training program. So they had me out in the field for like a month, and then I went away to, they have like this week where they do a whole bunch of educational classes in the classroom, like 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., long ass days. All you're doing is talking about bugs, which, like, some people are like, oh, what a drag. And I was like, this is amazing. So I learned everything I needed to learn about roaches and ants and all the things, and took my registration exam the next week, passed the test, and they handed me the keys to a truck and said, see you in a couple hours. So I hit the road, and I was out on my own, and I was loving it. And it was like, I think I was probably about, I don't know, maybe 7 days into working by myself. And I roll up to this house, and I'm out in Canton, Georgia, which is north of Atlanta. A little bit rural. I was on the north end of Canton, so you're kind of getting into like the foothills of the mountains and farms and stuff. So it was this little tiny like gravel street, if you want to call it that. And it had a few trailer homes on it. And it was the last one on the right, 1513. And knock on the door. And this woman answers, and she's like, I tell her what I'm there for. And she goes, oh, can you come in and treat for bugs? We have some bugs in the kitchen. I've seen a few. It's like, okay, sure. Innocuous enough. So I go in the house. To this day, 7 years in, with the exception of that one restaurant that I told for the ghost stories, I've never seen as many roaches in my life as I saw in this house.
A few.
And so, like, I'm like, oh, shit, what do I do? So I'm like doing all the stuff that I was kind of sort of taught to do. And because I'd never seen anything like that. So I was like, I guess I'm winging it. So I had like some dust, and there was in the top of the pantry, there was like a little void in the wall. So I was like using the Puffy D and get some dust in there. And the roaches were literally coming out, climbing up the stem and up my arm. And I was like, oh, fuck this. And so I like finished that, and I go in the kitchen, and I'm like checking the cabinets. And I open up the cabinets, and it rained down roaches like a nightmare manna from heaven. And I'm like, oh, my God. Fuck, I can't do this. No, I can't do this. So I'm like, I am going to finish this job. I'm going to be nice and polite to these people. I'm going to go outside. I'm going to call Dave. I'm going to fucking quit because I can't. And so I'm talking to the woman, the older lady that answered the door. And then the front door opens, and her daughter comes in. And her daughter is holding her 2-year-old son that lives in that home. And I was like, okay, so this isn't about me. This isn't about me. It is not about my feelings. This is about that kid. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that was it. Everything changed. And that was the moment I went from doing a job to pay my bills to being a public servant and making sure that people can live healthy.
Yes.
And it changed everything. And I've been loving it ever since. So we were talking about elderly people. I got a soft spot for elderly people, you know, like I can't help it. But yeah, it changed everything. And that's just how I see it now is we're there to help. We're not turning a buck. You know, we work for our customers and we work to make sure that they can live a nice, happy, fulfilled life that isn't overrun with bugs and rodents and everything else.
Yep. Right. Yeah. Funny enough, like the job that got me into this, because like I was going to just be the office person while my husband ran all the, you know, tech work. But he needed help on a job that was a roach job. And it was so bad. Like, the tenants had already been evicted, so thank God for that part. But he opened the front door, and they started raining down on him. And he's like, I need your help doing this. And I'm like, tell me what I gotta do, but okay. But yeah, doing that, and even knowing that the people weren't there anymore, but knowing that getting that clean for the next people to move in, because it was for low-income housing, it was going to be a family that moved in there. It was a 3-bedroom apartment.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I was going to be helping those future people coming into there. And then, yeah, it sold me. I'm like, this is awesome. It's gross at times. It's disgusting at times. Sometimes you want to poke your freaking eyeballs out or shove earplugs up your nose because you don't want to breathe. But at the end of the day, you just sit back and think, oh my God, I have helped so many people to actually have clean air in their house. They're not breathing in that dander from the roaches or the pee and poop from the rodents. Cool.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So then, you... Sorry. No, you...
I was going to say, and then you running commercial, I mean, you're not physically in somebody's house, you know, 99% of your time, but you're helping those workplaces stay clean, and then whatever they're producing is not going out to people, and... So, I mean, it needs to be everywhere, not just in homes, but in workplaces as well. Because, well, right. Sometimes bugs like to be little hitchhikers.
They sure do. I left that house one day, and I drove all the way home. So, for me to get to where my route was to back to my house in Marietta, I got caught in traffic that day. So, it took me like an hour and a half to get home. I pull into my driveway, and I go to open the door, and there's a little roach going right across the like the top of my door along the window. I was like, oh my God, this thing has been in the car with me for an hour and a half.
Oh my God.
Every time we come out of a roach job, we always end up taking one of our sticky traps and putting like a half gram to a gram of bait in the sticky trap and sticking it under our driver's seats. And we leave it sitting. And then about a week later, we'll go and check it. And we have never had one in there. Thank freaking God. But yeah, Brandon has brought one home one time. He stripped outside because it was a really bad one prior to our company. And yeah, he stripped outside. It goes running away from the house, thank God. But my son, who was like, I don't know, 6 or 7 at the time, decided he was going to stomp on it with his bare feet.
Oh.
Yeah, I was like, yep. It was pretty bad.
We knew it was destined with him.
Oh yeah, he's crazy.
He was born with the blood of the pest control.
Well, he's been, you know, kind of a part of it since he's been 5. Yeah. With Brandon working for other companies to this now. So yeah, he works with us now. But yeah, he's been a part of it since, yeah, because he was in kindergarten. Okay, so he was like 6. It was right after he had turned 6.
Right. That's adorable. So you did live in Georgia. What made you move?
So my wife is from Maryland originally. She grew up here. And it was just one of those things. It was time to leave the South for us. And she wanted to be back home, closer to her family, which is fine with me. I love her family. They're fantastic.
That's awesome.
So, I mean, it was a bummer to go. I grew up there. We've been up here for 2 years. So I don't miss it very much, to be honest with you. There's a few things I miss, like good barbecue and sweet tea. But I traded it out for crabs and, like, really good seafood. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, my mom comes up to visit and stuff. So it's not that
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we made the move. Georgia, God bless it. I was outside mowing, or not mowing the grass, but I was using the weed whacker in some bushes. We lived on a main road. And I was minding my own business, running the weed whacker, and somebody threw a wine bottle at me and yelled a slur. So I was like, okay, I think maybe we should look into moving to Maryland. So fair. It wasn't even good wine either, which was really a disappointment.
Like, right? If you're going to assault me with something, at least
make it make it like a nice one and not like, right? I don't know, Sutter Home. No offense to anybody, but.
Right. Exactly.
It's a cheapy wine to throw.
Right. Yeah.
If you're going to be a douchebag, at least throw the expensive shit. Come on.
Right,
tell me
something I can use.
Right. At least for cooking.
Right. How has pest control changed from those two? Because you did pest control there and...
The thing that really gets me the most up here is they actually have seasons here. Like, down there, it's all spray all the time. Like, you can do anything year-round because it doesn't get, like, cold.
Yeah.
And up here... The first year I was here, I was like, okay, this is a little weird because it's like November and there's not really anything to do. Like, yeah. You got to look out for the rodents and everything else. But, like, bug wise, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
There's more of a dormant period. As far as like species and stuff goes, like, not having fire ants is nice.
Fair.
That's really handy. And. I don't think I've ever seen, I don't even know if they have smoky brown roaches up here. Those were rampant down south. So they're all over the place, but
yeah,
mostly
oriented. Those are more southern.
Yeah, yeah, they're like southy, like farther south.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a little different. And so I was a technician for, I don't know, like 3 years. And then I was a service manager, so I moved up here as a service manager. So I haven't really run a lot of like regular route work necessarily, except for covering for my techs in the busy season. Mm-hmm. And now I've been promoted again and I'm really having a hard time reconciling with the damn demand mentality with also shit. Now I'm the man. What do I do? So I try to keep that in mind and make sure that, you know, I'm managing in a way that's fair and ethical for my technicians. I don't want to overwork anybody. Like I just, you know, I try to keep that in mind because it sucks. It sucks when you get slammed. And when I worked for the national chain, it was very much a work, drive, drive, drive. And I don't like that. Mm-mm. At all. Nobody likes that. No. And I certainly don't want to participate in instigating that.
Yeah. Right.
So in my role, my current role, I'm an assistant branch manager. And so I'm the one that does like all the routing and everything like that for my branch and managing my technician schedules and stuff. So I always try to be really cognizant of, you know, how stuff gets done. And, you know, sometimes it's, we got to get all these stops done by the end of the month. I'm like, yeah, but I also need to not run these guys ragged. So that's kind of where I put my foot down, damn the man. Like, you know, I'm not participating in that.
Yeah, right. These people still need to go see their family sometime in the month.
Like, exactly.
I understand and we really money well. Needs to be made, but people need to have a life as well. We
exactly.
don't live to work.
Right.
We work so we can live.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And, you know, I like numbers. I like efficiency. I like to make sure that we hit our, you know, our maximum revenue. But I also like to make sure that I don't completely max out physically.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's a fucked up thing to do.
Right. Yeah. And then if you drive your techs so damn hard that they're tired, they're already burnt out, and it's only June. You know, you're going to have more accidents, more callbacks, because they're only half-assing jobs, because I have 20 stops I need to do, and I'm trying to do it in 8 hours. So just half-ass it here, half-ass it there, and then the job wasn't done, and then your company looks bad, and it's just...
You don't want to open a door to cut corners and everything else. Yeah. But, I was answering a question and now I got sidetracked and I can't remember what the question was. difference in pests and everything.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a little different. If I was further north, it would be more of a stark difference.
Yeah.
And just kind of like treatment method is a little bit different. I think it just might have been just the places that I worked down there because they all kind of did it the same and they do it a little differently up here. I don't know if it's a regional thing or what, but
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It's just, like, especially since you've been in, like, two completely, like, different regions. You've been in the South, and now you're up in the Northeast, and it's just crazy. Like, me and Jenny talk about it all the time. Like, just our differences from Oregon to Ohio, Indiana, on, like, even just the bugs that we deal with. Like, yeah. Here on my specific coast, not Eastern, any that I do work at as well, but, like, we only have German roaches. There's no other roach that lives here. Now, a little bit farther east, we do get, like, orientals and stuff like that. But all the way at the coast, German roaches don't live here. Black widows can't survive here. Like, they will get brought in, like, shipping and shit like that. But other than that, they don't live here. So we'll get the people, because we have, like, false widows, obviously. And people will be like, oh my god, I saw a black widow. No, you didn't. No, the hell you didn't.
You did not.
Calm down. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, calm down. Yeah. Like, we thought we had a Turkestan roach the other day, because we have a tenant that moved up from LA, and she keeps, you know, there's a roach here, there's a roach there. Nobody's ever seen it. We finally got a picture of it, and Brandon thought it was a Turkestan roach, but come to find out it's a German roach. So we're like, oh, yeah. Thank God. Because he's like, oh my God, I'm going to have to figure this one out now. But we lucked out, thank God.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, so away from pest control,
mm-hmm.
What's your life like? How many kiddos do you got? Do you got any pets? What do you do for fun?
We have two kids. I'm married. I've been married to Sarah for 8 years, and we've been together for 10.
Nice.
We have two kids. They're hers from previous relationships, but they're mine because I raised them.
Yes.
So we have Lily, who is about to turn 19, just graduated high school.
And I saw that.
Her very first concert tonight. So
nice.
She is mega pumped. That was her graduation gift.
Who's she seeing?
Black Veil Brides.
Nice.
Yeah. So she's really, really excited. They're it's like some other band, Black Veil Brides, and I think Baby Metal, but she's like, I'm not really into that, so we'll probably just leave after Black Veil Brides. Because she is in love with Andy Biersack, so.
Oh, yeah.
but she's there, and then my son, Micah, is 13, and he's a good kid. He's getting ready to start 8th grade in the fall, so pretty pumped up. I got a dog, Lucille, a little pity mix, and then we have George the cat. So, yeah, and that's it. The pets drive me bananas. When we were moving here, I drove the U-Haul and everything, and then Sarah and the kids went in our car. And they had the dog, lucky for them, and I had the cat. And George meowed for 14 hours.
Morning. Oh, yeah.
His little voice was hoarse by the time we got here. At like 2 o'clock in the morning, he's like, meow.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
my God. I have moved with cats, not for a 14-hour trip. It was... I think it was like 5, but I had one that was super great. She literally slept on whoever was driving's lap, and anytime you'd turn the wheel, she'd bap at it. Stop it. And then, yeah, we've had the other ones that just sit there and wah.
Like, yeah, the whole time. And it was like, it was so rhythmic that, like, after a while, I could kind of tune it out a little bit. It was like, meow, meow, meow.
Head bob to it.
I'm laughing because... That's great. We drug our cats. We take them to the vet and we get drugs for them for trips.
In retrospect, that is what we should have done. It was a move from hell, and it would have made it so much easier if George was knocked out the whole time.
Yes, and it's I also laughed because we moved just about 2 years ago, too. It was 3.5 hours. But I also drove the U-Haul, and my husband took the car and the family and stuff. But I had the cat, but he was drugged. But that's only because we've had previous moves where I've experienced that, because he's 14 years old now. So I just know him. I was like, there's no way I'm doing this again.
Yeah, it was wild. Like, I got in the U-Haul, and we're like leaving. We're like, all right, bye. See you there. And George is in his house, and he's cool. Like, he was in his little crate or whatever in a passenger seat. And he was cool. And then, like, I made the turn onto the main road, and then he's like, meow. Like, uh-oh. And then, like, he's trying to get out, and he's, like, getting his claws caught in a thing, and, like, it's just, like, going bananas. And I'm trying to drive. I'm also pulling a trailer for the first time in my life. And the cat's in the passenger seat freaking out. And I'm like, oh, my God, like, one hand on the wheel trying not to wreck. And he settled down about, I'd say he finally stopped trying to get out of the cat carrier about an hour and a half into the
Yep.
Yes.
It was a good day.
Exactly.
So what kind of things do you do for fun to just keep you going when you're not working?
Oh, geez. What do I do for fun? Do I have fun? I don't
know. Your mom, that's what matters.
We're pretty chill. My wife has a photography business on the side, and she does that a lot on the weekends. So sometimes I'll go help her. Other times we just crushed all six seasons of The Handmaid's Tale in like 3 weeks. So binge watching TV is a good one. When I can actually pull myself together, I like to make lamps out of like innocuous items. So we had, I got rid of it when we moved, but we had a hanging light in our kitchen at the old house that was made out of a colander. So, and stuff like that. Like I have a lamp that I made out of a vintage fire hose nozzle, old hand drill, stuff like that. Yeah. So.
That's really cool. Crafty.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I like to do that kind of stuff.
I always want to do stuff like that, and then I think that I can, and then I just never end up doing it.
Yeah.
So I have realized that, so I stopped, you know, I'm going to do this hobby and buy all this stuff for it and do it for like a week and then go, never mind.
Right. That happens to me sometimes too. Like I have this, I got this set of like these vintage wooden spools. They're called beehive spools. And it's what they use in, fabric factories. That's not the word I want to use, but that's what's coming to my brain.
Okay.
Textile mills. There it is.
Yeah, there.
I was almost there. But they're like they're these wood spools, and they're kind of like cylindrical at the top, and then they have almost like a cone shape at the bottom, and they're like ridged, and they're like they're really cool. Since they're older, they're like handmade wood. And so I think they're about like 14 inches tall. So I'm going to convert those into like a really nice pair of like rustic lamps.
That's
the plan. That's been the plan for about 8 weeks. So I'll get there eventually.
That's not too bad though. I mean, it's 8 weeks is not that bad. Like I tried to get into rock painting because one of my friends did it. She's super talented at just drawing and painting, period. I have a bunch of random rocks that she has painted for me. So I tried to get into it, and she even sent me like some of these like really nice, like flat white rocks. I mean, they're super smooth. They're literally like produced for rock painting. I never painted on them. I did a lot of little random things, you know, like, oh, this little tiny rock looks like a bean. We can do whatever, whatever. Yeah, I did it for a little while, bought all this paint for it, all these paint brushes, all this stuff to like cover my desk. And yeah, then I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm done with this. This is dumb now. And I think I kept comparing like my drawings to hers, and I know I never should, but she was like, oh, look what I drew. And I'm like, oh, look at my stupid little thing. Like hers was like this amazing thing. And I actually know where one is, and I will grab it here in a second. But hers are, like, so detailed, and I'm like, oh, I drew, like, the yard and a sun in the corner like a freaking 5-year-old. Yay!
Hey, it's the process. It was amazing. I was about to say, it's fun.
I'm gonna go grab that rock. You guys keep talking.
Okay. Art is subjective, so it can
be... Yes, it really is.
It really is. I love crafting and scrapbooking and all kinds of things. I am guilty of harboring a lot of crafts.
Yeah, the amount of things to make lamps that went to Goodwill when we were moving was astounding.
Yes.
I'm definitely a collector.
Yes, I feel that. We have a storage unit because the place we moved to is too small.
Mm.
So, but yeah.
my place is too small. It was fine when we first moved in, and then after 12 years of living here, stuff has accumulated, and now I'm just like, oh my god, like I see like old pictures of like when we first moved in, and I'm like, oh my god, everything was so nice and clean and pretty and put away, and even my kids were like super young.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, what the hell happened? There's shit dust. Everywhere.
That was today when we were cleaning a basement. Like, we lived here for 2 years. We downsized to move here. And the stuff that got stored in the basement wasn't that much. And we were down there today and we're like, where did all this come from? Right. It's like, I don't even understand. We haven't done that much. Why do we have so many things?
Okay, so I found my rock. My favorite movie when I was younger was Sword in the Stone, the Disney version of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I loved when Merlin and Madame Mim fought.
That's great. My God.
That's amazing.
That's fantastic. What are you talking about that you don't think it's good?
No, this is not mine. This is my best friend's that she made for me.
Okay, I was going to say, like,
that's fantastic.
Right? She's so good. But yeah, see, that's like, how amazing. It's just like this perfectly smooth rock?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what she sent me, a bunch of these, and then sent me this, too. And I have a bunch of other ones, too, that she sent me. I have, like, a Catwoman one, and I don't know where those are right now.
That's but, like a biblical stone slab. That it ain't is, a rock. Right?
Look how big this thing is. I know, I could. But yeah, look how big this thing is, and it's
what
heavy.
What sin am I breaking on that one?
Right. That shall not step on roaches in bare feet.
Exactly. There you go. That is the sin. That's
so do you do a lot of like roach work or bed bug work or anything up there? Well, I know you don't now because you're assistant manager, but do you guys get a lot of it?
On the whole, yes. Yeah. Okay. It's a lot. Yeah, a lot, yeah. Especially you know, with Baltimore and DC and just kind of in that greater area, you'll see it a lot. We in my branch in particular, we'll do several bed bug, like bigger bed bug jobs a month, and then, you know, the big apartment roach clean outs, we usually run into large ones of those every 4 to 6 weeks or so, and then just your run-of-the-mill residential commercial,
right,
super just like single unit or whatever roach work and stuff. So
yeah,
it's pretty common just because it's such a big metro area.
Yeah.
That, you know, it gets a little wild up here sometimes.
Oh, I bet.
Especially with rodents.
Oh, yeah.
It gets a little crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. Like, I wish, as weird as it sounds, I really wish I did more bed bug work, and it's not even for the money. It's literally because I want to use Apprehend. I want to try it so bad, but it's a pretty hefty price tag.
Yeah.
We get maybe one bed bug job a year.
That's
not worth it.
That's a big commitment for one a year, right?
Yeah. Like, and it's like literally, I have looked back through since we opened, and it has like literally been like one a year. I think maybe 1 year we had two, but it was like at the beginning of the year. And then all the way until almost the end, and we got our second one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I'm like, damn it!
Yeah, that's a big price tag for...
Yeah, because, like,
once a year.
We're really good friends with Paula Benedict. She's, like, the queen of freaking Apprehend. So I want to use it so bad. So I'm, like, asking her, I'm like, how long does it last once it's been open? You know, obviously, if it's kept at the temperature it's supposed to, blah, blah, blah. And, like, she was showing me some that she had just gotten, and it expires, like, I think it was, like, one of them was, like, 4 months from the day she got it. The other one was, like, 5, something like that. And I'm going, that's not fucking worth it for me.
Yeah.
Everything's going to expire by the time I can use it again.
Yeah.
I'm like, So, yeah, we don't do heat treatment. We do, a lot of ours is we, both of us have really nice steamers, and we steam, like, all the furniture, all of that, and you can smell them burning. Like, Brandon told me about it. I was like, yeah, whatever. As soon as I hit that pocket of them and they burnt, I was like, ugh. He's like, no, that smells like money. And I'm like, okay, I get it. Yeah, but yeah, we steam, we chem treat, we use Crossfire, and then follow-ups, you know, spot treat is needed, yada yada. But it has always worked for us.
Yeah, out of our branch we chem treat, and it's been successful. We have one of our other branches will run heat and Apprehend as needed. Yeah. But yeah, we got apprehended because there was this one guy that, like, he was this really, really elderly gentleman, and doing like prep work just wasn't. He could do some, but a full prep job wasn't an option.
Yeah.
So going with apprehend was kind of the way to go. So.
That's how our last one was. It was two disabled elderly and like physically disabled, and then their son who, but they did as much as they possibly could, and we told them, if you can't get it all done, do not worry, we will help you. And they did a pretty good job for what we needed, and there was just a little bit of extra that we had to help with, but they did a really good job at prep work, and then like continuing to like get their stuff washed and all of that. So I was happy with that. I was like, thank God somebody's doing this. Because we've had some where I'm going, can you do anything? Like, you're a teenager. Why are you not doing this? Why am I packing up your stuff? But I would love apprehend for those ones. I would love it. But I'm just
I know. I just want to try it just to say I've used it.
Exactly.
Right? It's so cool. Yeah. It's such a cool thing.
It really is. Like, I would totally love, like, even like if, you know, because like I know it's supposed to work on roaches, but it's not labeled for roaches, so I understand. But like, if it ever got labeled for roaches, I'd be all over it. Because we do the roach jobs. Not as many as Jenny does. Right. But we do the roach jobs. And I'm like, hey, I can make this work then. I can completely justify the cost if I can do it on roaches too. German roaches, at least.
Yeah.
That's German roaches and ants are like my number one thing in my region.
Yes.
But so would you say rodents are probably your highest call in your region, Jen?
Yeah, we get a lot of rodent calls. We get a lot of rodent calls. Mice are just absolutely bananas. Get a lot of rats, especially closer in towards the cities. I was working one day, and I was coming out of a roach job, and I was parked. This was in Baltimore City, and I was parked on the block because it was like row homes down either side. And I'm sitting in my truck filling out the ticket, and something catches my eye, and I'm like, "What is happening over there?" And it's fucking rat. Comes out from underneath these people's porch, gets a bag of Cheez-Its that was like trash on the ground, like starts eating it, and then like goes back under the porch. And I was like, "Oh my god!" I videoed it. And
then you bring it to him and go, "Hey, look!"
Right. Well, that's not the first time I ever saw that, because like I saw him, and then I went back to that house for a follow up, and a couple weeks later, and I'm sitting almost in virtually the same spot. And something out of the corner of my eye, and I look, and there's that rat squeezing its fat butt out from underneath those steps again, going out there looking for stuff. I'm like, well, I guess he lives there.
Yeah. I'm looking for his Cheez-Its, man. Right? Every time you went, you should have just brought Cheez-Its and threw them over there, just lure him out.
I should have. Who doesn't want Cheez-Its?
If you would have gotten that as a rodent job, you would have known what to bait your traps with.
Exactly.
Like, Cheez-Its. Why even try anything else? You know he eats Cheez-Its. Just Cheez-Its. Crush them little bastards up in there. And
I get caught too, though. Like, if somebody put a Cheez-It on.
Cheez-Its are delicious. Like, for no reason.
Like the baked Gouda ones.
Oh, right.
They're so good.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of those, like, the Thin Crisp or whatever ones now. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, those are good, too.
Those are banging. Ow. Good stuff.
Okay, so you do a lot of rodents.
Do a lot of rodents. I would say, like, rodents, roaches, and bedbugs, they're just the bread and butter.
Yeah.
When you get in such a large metropolis area. It's just, that's where it's at. And then we also, because Maryland is, it's, we got everything here. We got beach, we got city, we got mountains, we got farms. And so you'll run into a lot of mouse problems in our more rural areas and stuff, too.
Yeah.
It's just, rodents. There's a lot of rodents.
Do you guys do, like, termite work or anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Have you specifically done termite work for any of the companies you've worked for?
Like, trench and treats? No.
Either trenches or any of it.
I've done a butt ton of bait station installs. We ran, down in Georgia, the company I worked with, we ran Trelona. We had a agreement with a couple of the building companies, so when new neighborhoods would go in, we just pop bait stations around all their houses. So there would be days where I'm like, all right, I guess I'll do 10 installs today, and like have to put them all in, draw all the graphs, do all the things. I think the fastest I ever did one was a 15 station install and hand drawing the graph in 28 minutes.
Oh God.
I was pretty proud of myself for that one. But
right. That's crazy. Yeah. Like we don't do any termite work here. We don't have a whole lot. Subs are very few and far between. The main termite here are damp woods.
Yeah.
I mean, living at the ocean.
Who could have guessed?
Yeah. Imagine that. But Brandon is licensed to do it. He has done it with previous companies. So, like, because we work for a few property managers and stuff. Like, if they have, like, a, hey, you know, somebody's complaining of termites or whatever, he'll go and inspect it and tell them either, yeah, there's termites. No, there's not. They're just freaking crazy. Yeah. Not every flying ant is a termite. and so then, like, if it actually is a termite or any other wood-destroying, minus, like, carpenter ants, because we can deal with that. That's easy. And then most wood-boring beetles as well he'll deal with. But, yeah, it's like he has to do it because he's licensed to do it. I'm not. I mean, I can hang around and help him, but he's got to be there. We had one carpenter ant showed up in a client's shed, you know, off the property or off of her, you know, her house.
Yeah.
But so I'm like telling Brandon, oh, they're here. They're that. What do I do? He's like, absolutely nothing. And I'm going, oh, because we don't cover the shed. He's like, no, you legally cannot do it. I'm like, oh, yeah, they're wood destroying. He's like, I'll be there in half an hour. Just continue doing else.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, he had to come. And literally, like, he treated it. I mean, it was, like, maybe a 10 or 8 by 10 shed. And then put down advanced 375A. And I'm going, dude, I could have done this. He's like, you're not licensed for it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I keep forgetting that part of it. He's like, you tell me that they're there, but you can't do anything about them. And I'm like, that's... What harm is it for me to just throw down some advanced 375A? What the hell? But I get it. Legalities, yada yada.
Yeah. And I hate how every state is different. Oh, did you run into any of that licensing wise when you moved states? Was it like a headache to...
No, they do reciprocity here. So since I was a certified operator in Georgia, I was able to... I had to fill out some paperwork. I had to get my former place of employment to fill out a couple forms to basically prove that I did in fact work there. And I was actually certified and they had seen me do it. And then they just gave me everything I needed. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we went and visited Indiana in October, because it's a reciprocal state with Oregon, Brandon was going to fill it out just so he could go work with Brad for a day. He didn't do it, though.
Yeah, it was a pretty painless process. Like, it's, you know, I just had to get really, literally just a form filled out. And they're like, okay, well, if this is what you had in Georgia, then this is what we can do for you here. Because I was so afraid. I was like, am I going to have to take another freaking test? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Trying to move. I don't have time for this.
Right.
But luckily that wasn't the case. Yeah, that wasn't the case at all. Everything work-wise coming here, everything was smooth sailing. Because I work for a company that has several companies, so I was able to just transfer.
Oh, that's cool.
So everything for that was a total breeze. It was just the actual physical getting here that was the nightmare.
Yeah, moving's never fun. Like,
it was the worst. It was a saga.
Oh, yeah. And then your poor kitty.
And the cat. It was a whole story. I won't take up time telling that story, but after we stop recording, I will tell you the whole story because it was crazy. But
I totally get that. It's funny that you guys were moving around the same time I was. I've only ever lived in Ohio, but I moved 3.5 hours north Ohio. And then now I work in Indiana, which is a whole different level of weirdness when it comes to licensing. No, you're fine. But yeah, so I totally get it. It's a whole bunch of weirdness with that.
But yeah, it's moving is the weirdest thing. Because it's like, it's exciting to do, but it sucks all at the same time. And I did it so much when I was younger, being an army brat. Like, oh my god, I couldn't imagine having to move that much now. Like, our last, like, major move one was, my oldest was, like, 3 months old. We moved from Washington back down here. So it was, like, a 4-hour trip-ish. Yeah, I couldn't imagine doing it anymore. And I'm like, no, I don't like moving.
I'd be happy if we never had to do that again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like that. Our last house move, we were still in the same city, was like 12 years ago. I've literally been right here for 12 years, and I'm like, I'm okay with this. Oh, I don't want to move anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weren't you also licensed in another state, Jenny? Like, I know you were in Ohio and Indiana. Didn't you have a third that, like, randomly got handed to you?
So I lived in Dayton, Ohio, but I worked in Cincinnati, Ohio, which was an hour away at the border.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the first test they ever had me take was Kentucky.
What the fuck?
I don't know why. So I got my Kentucky license, which doesn't reciprocate to Ohio. So then I had to go take the Ohio.
Oh, fun.
And then they mailed me a Pennsylvania license, and I was like, why'd I get a Pennsylvania license in the mail? Oh, it reciprocated. We are just, you know, whatever. And I was like, that's weird. So I put it in my wallet. Like,
really
whatever.
Far east.
Well, then, like, 2 or 3 weeks later, they were like, hey, we're sending you to Pennsylvania for a week or two. We'll post you up in a hotel and stuff. And I was like, my babies were so little. And I was like, no, the fuck you're not.
Right.
I was like, I'm not going to put, this was not part of the deal. So I settled for commuting all the way to Louisville, Kentucky for like 4 weeks straight back and forth. And they were like, are you sure you don't want us to just post you up in a hotel? And I said, no, as long as I can kiss my babies goodnight, you know, because they were just so little, you know,
yeah.
it was different, like, than they are now, right now, you know. So I drove back and forth to Louisville. I think that's like almost a 4-hour drive.
Ugh.
Back and forth to Louisville, Kentucky for. So I've been licensed in Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Kentucky.
Jesus Christ, girl.
And I've only ever lived in Ohio. I don't understand. It's
live in Ohio, work in Indiana, license in Pennsylvania and Kentucky as well.
Yeah. And the first, like, ever license I ever got was Kentucky. Why?
Like, did you, like, because, like, my license expires.
Yeah.
Like, and then, or you have to keep, like, your CEUs going, blah, blah, blah. Did you keep those ones going?
I did not keep Kentucky or Pennsylvania, but I keep Ohio going because I live here. And I asked my current employer if they would keep Ohio going, and they said, no, you work in Indiana now. So I personally do Ohio, and there's some, like, conventions I like to go to that earn me CEUs. Because I did greenhouse stuff, I like to go to the Tri-State Green Industry Conference and stuff, and that earns you CEUs and stuff. So far I've been able to keep my Ohio license, you know, but Indiana is most important because that's where I'm, you know.
That's where you physically,
like,
make the money.
Right. That's like Jen trying to keep on to her Georgia license, even though she's practicing, you know.
I do have to renew this month, and I totally forgot, so thank you for bringing this up.
You're welcome.
I really don't want to take that test again if we move back, so I got to keep that license.
Yeah.
We
no,
got
definitely,
you.
Yeah. So what has been, like, your favorite job that you've done? Like, whether it was just because it was a really fun thing to get rid of, or the people were just amazing? They were, like, so excited that you were there to help them.
Let's see. The most fun. Oh, man, that's a good question. Dang. It's so
memorable.
Funny because all week I've been thinking about stuff, and I'm like, I know they're going to ask me something like this, and now I can't even remember what I thought of. I would say the first story I told, the house with all those roaches, I ended up leaving that company, and I'd gotten their roaches and everything under control, and I was there for just their routine service, and I told them, I was like, you know, I'm leaving, I'm moving on, and they literally started to cry. And I think helping them, I think, was like really, it was a great experience. It was a fantastic experience to be able to take it from, it was so terrible, into, you know, we're just there for just routine maintenance. Like, oh, you only have ants, you know, and yeah. It's summertime. It's going to happen. So that was good. I think, most fun. The roaches and all that, the restaurant with all the roaches, despite how disgusting it was kind of fun to solve that problem. And the thing that about that one is I got it like 90% under control. And then the lady was like, yeah, you're not doing a good job. So we're going with a different company. And I was like, seriously? Like, are you serious right now? Like, what? So that was not fun. I did go to a house. I helped one of my technicians put in a vapor barrier one time. The work itself was not fun, but getting out and spending time with him on a personal level, like we really got to talk and, you know, be in really awkward positions trying to get this vapor barrier in a crawl space that had barely legal clearance. Like it was a good time. It was a surprisingly good time, despite how unpleasant it was physically. But I think really for me, the parts that I enjoy the most is, you know, helping people, but also getting out there and connecting with my coworkers and my technicians and all that.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't see a lot of managers like that anymore. So it's good to still hear that there are managers out there like that, because mostly they're just, you know, crack that whip, go make my money. Because the more money you make, the more bigger bonus I get, and
I've never been like that, and I don't, any of the service managers that I've dealt with at my company, and anybody in the management side, nobody's like that here.
That's awesome.
I haven't seen it. It's very much a, you guys need to work to connect with your techs, and, you know, let them know they're appreciated, not just, you know, out there making them run everything and being relentless. Like, we're not like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I had a branch, one of my first branch managers ever. He would come out on the field with us, and it was like, at first it's like, oh, I'm nervous, he's here. But it was after like 5-10 minutes, it was all laughs and fun. So yeah. Like, I like that kind of environment, and I'm sure your technicians do too.
Yeah, and I've always tried to make sure that there's a good connection, and everybody, you know, not just knowing that they're valued, but also seeing their value for themselves, right? That's like, good. It's one thing to tell somebody that, you know, they're doing a great job, but creating an environment where they can actually see it themselves, you know, and just kind of that safe place where you just want to foster you know, somebody really feeling good and safe, like a safe environment where they can just be, is really important.
Yeah. They don't just, you don't do the blanket, we're family here. No. I hate that. And yes, it's in my company's name, and I will never use that when I hire people. I mean, obviously I joke around with my kids about it. I'm like, oh, we're all family here. And they're like, well, no, duh. What the fuck? But like, if we actually ever hire outside of our family, we'll never use that term. It's so bullshit. Because as soon as companies start using that, like, they just downhill. They don't care about their lower people anymore. You know, the ones out there actually making them this money.
Exactly. In my...
Are you typical manager and give everybody a pizza party?
No. So, okay. So we do like our monthly breakfasts and everything. And I always try to mix it up. Actually, we're having one on Monday, and we're having IHOP for breakfast. So
nice.
We do try to do like more reward based, things that outside of just a pizza party. Pizza parties are lame.
Yeah. Right.
And it's, I would rather do things that are a little more enriching than that. Like Monday, so we're having our catered IHOP breakfast. And then I'm making all the technicians a summer pack because it's supposed to be like 100 degrees next week. So everybody's getting some liquid IV packets, some little SPF 15 chapsticks, and some cooling towels and sunscreen and all that kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
You know, just to, you know, I know you're out there and it's hot and I want to make sure that they're taken care of, you know.
Yeah.
Have you looked into those, like, cooling towels that you can, like, put around
mm-hmm. your head? Yeah, I got a whole bunch of them.
Okay. Yeah, those are cool. The other one that I bought for Brandon years ago was a cooling vest. Same material as the towels, yeah, but it was a whole vest. So you, like, get it wet, you wring it out, and he would just stick it on underneath his button-up. It never, you know, the water never soaked through to his button-up or anything like that. And it kept his core cooled off so that he stayed cooled off.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not super expensive. I mean, for a whole lot of people, obviously, it's going to obviously rack up. But, you know, they're not like $100 a piece.
Right. Yeah.
As I think the one I bought him, and this was years ago, was like $20 or something.
Oh, that's not bad.
I was like, yeah, I was like, well, let's give it a shot. If it keeps it helps keep you cool, because, you know, I don't need you out there having a freaking heat stroke.
Right.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, and you saw my weather prior to us recording. It's in the 60s usually here.
Yeah.
When I bought him that, it was like a week or two of like 80, 85, plus our constant humidity here. That shit starts to wear on you when you're used to less than 70 degrees all the time.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's not the best at remembering to drink water. Well, then he wasn't. Now he is.
That's good.
Yes.
Yeah. If you look at the forecast this coming week for like the whole region of the U.S. where me and Jen are, like the part of the Midwest and that East Coast, we're like blazing this coming. Yeah.
It's the heat dome is coming to get us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's going to be hotter up here in Maryland, flat temperature-wise and heat index-wise, than it's going to be down in Atlanta.
Yeah.
This coming week. Yeah.
It was a weird, yeah, I saw the weather map and I was like, well, that's weird.
Yeah, I was talking to my mom the other night and she was like, I can't believe it's going to be so hot. And I was like, Mom, it's going to be even hotter here. Like, I think down there is supposed to, she's like, it's going to be like 95 today. It's like, it's going to be 101.
Right, yeah. I was glad I took vacation the last couple days because it just started getting hot. So like, I've popped out a few times to get used to it, but Monday it's game on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
not looking forward to it.
No melting, Jenny, okay?
I know.
We have our little midget puddle.
Exactly. Jen, it's been amazing having you on. What is one piece of advice you would give to somebody coming into the industry? Pest control industry.
One piece of advice. I would say don't be afraid to ask questions and never assume that you know it all. Because there's always going to be something that pops up. And I think that's part of what I like the most about pest control is it's different all the time. There's different challenges for every job. There's a lot of problem solving. You know, obviously the helping people, but just constantly learning. There's always something to learn and everybody has something to learn and everybody has something to teach.
Yes.
And it's really important to keep that in mind.
Yes.
Fair.
People think that this is just like strictly a physical job. It's not, it's a mental game.
Oh yeah.
Because even if you're not quote unquote learning something new, you still have to, you know, assess everything that's around. Find all the small little details because, oh, I only have ants over here. Well, how the hell are they getting in over here but not over there where you have all this stuff over there? They should be there, but they're over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge mental game, like, constantly.
Yeah, it's problem solving, it's science, like, it's got a little bit of everything.
If yeah, you're we doing call it detective work.
A lot of math.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Before we go, though, Jenny.
Yes.
Bam.
Oh, yes.
We're going to talk about our Spangler tumblers from SpanglerArt.com, which this is my very first one. It's plain. It's simple. but it's beautiful. It's a little nicked up. My bad, Tony.
I couldn't find my Paula.
You always find one or the other.
I know.
Okay, here, we'll make it even with you. There you go. See, I have that one too. Ta-da!
There we go. Yeah, see? And see, this kiss is for Paula. I usually kiss Paula.
Yes. Yeah. They're decorative. They're amazing. They're very detailed. Look at that pretty face.
Aww.
And then that one too.
Yes.
But, I mean, exactly. Obviously these are real pictures that he put on here. It's not AI. Oh, here, I'll return the favor.
Okay.
It's not, I mean, he can do AI, he can do cartoons, real pictures, whatever you can think. Tony can make it for you. And Leanne, she's amazing too, at spenglerart.com. So, be you, be, well, let's see, stay you, stay hydrated, and whatever else goes with that, I can't remember right now.
It's spenglerart.com. But yes, Jen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you are very interesting and a lot of fun to talk to.
You are.
Excellent. Thank you.
And thank you for all the stories that you constantly give us.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Those last ones. Ooh, buddy.
Oh, my God.
I read the one with the wiping off the knife thing, and I'm not even joking. God. I was like, whoop.
So I'm not going to lie to you. Every time I make anything with chicken, I think about that.
Oh.
Like, I can't unsee that moment.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
Yeah.
That's just, That's the bad part about this job is you get shit ingrained, and you're like.
Once it's in there, you can't get rid of it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh. I'm not even, like, I wasn't even joking when I said that I, like, tried to stop myself from dry heaving on that second story. Because I did. I copied it, put it in mine and Jenny's OneNote, and then I go through and read it, make sure, like, when we read it, like, it's grammatically correct, yada yada, it makes it easier on us. And I'm like, I read it, and I was like, and then my son was sitting next to me.
That's one of those ones, I genuinely don't know how I was able to keep a straight face when that happened.
Oh, it's so hard on their job like that.
I don't even know how I don't know how I did it. I think if somebody were there with me, they would have been like, Jen, fix your face.
Like I've said it, like, I won't say anything. My face will say 1,000 words. Right. I won't verbally say anything, but I'm like,
yeah.
Jen, fix your face. I
love fix your face, Jen. I'm going to start saying that to you, Jenny. Jen, fix your face.
Fix your face.
Good stuff. Yes. And thank you for all your contributions to Pestrogen, too, because a lot of us benefit from everything you share, and we love it.
Well, thank you.
All your insights to everything, whether it's what deodorant to start wearing or how the hell do I treat this?
Yeah, we were just talking about deodorants this morning. Right?
That's why it made me think of it.
Listen, I'll tell you what, and this is the truth. The clinical version of women's deodorant is the same as men's regular strength, but it costs more because it's special for women. So, like, same with, like, razors and stuff. We got to pay, like, $1.50 extra because it's pink. Like that. Just use a regular Gillette.
Yep.
Yep.
I do on razors.
I use Harry's.
Men's razors last longer anyways. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I use Harry's, too. We used to do Dollar Shave Club, and then they changed their handle and their razors, and they became absolute bullshit. So, yeah, I started buying the Harry's razors. I'm like, hey, perfect.
Yeah. Yep. I hate the pink tax, because some things are super cute pink, but, like, I'm not willing to pay $2 more, bro. I'm poor.
Right?
Right. Come on.
Well, you're gonna pay us like 17% less than our male counterparts, but you're gonna charge us $2 more for something? Come on,
right? Like, come on, way to keep a sister down, like, nah.
Right? Exactly, or excuse me, 17 cents less,
right?
Or whatever it is, but
still, yeah, absolutely, but yeah.
So, well, thanks for having me. This was a good time.
Yes. Yes, thank you for joining us for Pestrogen Podcast. We are not sure what we're doing next week, so stay tuned, y'all.
I'll share something.
That. I was about to say, we've got like an idea poll going on, and So we'll keep you updated, folks. But thank you for joining us for Pestrogen Podcasts.
Go out and kick some ass.
Go out and kick some ass.